Not that we want Miss Rhonda to vacate her position here at Sand Hill, but I think we know who could maybe take her place when she decides to retire. At least just be in the choir singing. I love hearing you sing. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16 is where we'll be today as our focal passage. And out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you would stand as I read from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of this service. Throughout history, even for those who believe and for those who don't believe, Jesus Christ, no greater man who has ever walked the face of this earth, has made an impact such as the name of Jesus. However, many just don't believe, or they just simply cannot understand or fathom that this man, this being, left a throne on high and then was born of virgin birth as a baby and experienced the things that you and I experienced. He cried as a baby. His diaper needed to be changed as a baby. He had to learn to crawl. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. Now we know that that is a miracle in itself, as we see a baby just being born into our church family this past week. We see that miracle of this baby and the conception of it all. The conception of how you and I produced the baby is a miracle in itself. But what a miracle that the Holy Spirit spoke into existence this beautiful baby. A baby that was going to have to grow up and live a rough life now, a very tough life, and he didn't have to. Now you think about the life that you've lived, and you think about all the hardships that you face, whether you're young or whether you're old, you think about the struggles of life that you've dealt with, and you probably think, wow, you've had it rough. But think about this. Jesus knew how his life was going to unfold. And he was still willing to come and dwell among us, a sinful people, and live a life so that he could show others the way to the cross. It reminds me of the song that we used to sing. We may have sung it here before at Sand Hill, I don't know, but the way of the cross leads where? Home. Jesus left his home, Jesus left his throne on high, so that you and I could experience an eternal home. A home that was made without hands. A home that will promise you, that will give you a life eternal through pure glory and pure joy and through the miraculous birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a miracle in itself. That alone should shake the foundations of this world in which we live. That alone, if someone were really to sit down and try to read God's Word and then be able to comprehend God's Word, not through their own intelligence that they have gained through the matter of time, but through the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, and understand this glorious story, the greatest love story ever told. So today's message is titled, "Who is this Jesus?" My question for you today, I'm going to repeat this question numerous times today. Who is this Jesus to you? He's different to you and to me, but at the same time, we do share that one common thread or bond of who Jesus is, but Jesus means something different to you than what he means to me, because he saved you in a different way than he saved me. But who is Jesus to you? Is he one that you only recognize at December and at Easter? Christmas and Easter? Is he one that you recognize throughout the course of your days? Is he one that you acknowledge before your feet hit the floor, before you start a day? Is he the one that you acknowledge when things are going smoothly and when things are going rough? Is he one that you acknowledge before you lay your head down to sleep at night? Who is this Jesus? Some believe that his life just began in the manger, that was the actual beginning of Jesus' life, but that is not true. As I said, he left his throne on high. John 8:58 says, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you that before Abraham was, I am." And we can think about the history of the Old Testament and how long the time span was before Jesus was even brought to the earth in fleshly form. But his story was already foretold in the Old Testament. But before Abraham ever existed, Jesus was already there, he being the great I am. As a member of the Trinity, Jesus is the eternal Son of God, which means there is no beginning, which means there is no end. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Very important scripture for us who have called upon the name of the Lord to be our saving grace. All of God's Word and scriptures are very important. But this here is the one scripture, the one verse that you can give to other people to let them know that Jesus was before time itself. Can you explain it physically? No. Can you explain it from an emotional standpoint? No. But from a spiritual standpoint, you can explain it simply because it's God's Word. And if it's God's Word, we know that it is the truth. That's the only explanation that we need. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His birth in Bethlehem was just merely that physical moment in time where he came down to man. You know, I think of the song that we sing at Easter, a mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The gulf began when he came to this earth. And then we know that his life ended on that cross, but it only ended for just 3 days. And then he was born again, or raised again, rather, from death. And then he ascended back to his throne on high. Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah who came to earth. And what's so important about that is that he came to earth to carry out the mission of his heavenly Father. He was being so obedient. He was even obedient until when? Death. Now that should be you and me. We should be obedient to God's Word until death. And then we will see how life really begins and how life will really unfold when we close our eyes here and we draw our last breath here on earth and we enter into the realm of God's glory. Look back at verse 13 of this chapter, Matthew 16. Jesus here saying to his disciples, "Who do the people of Caesarea Philippi, who do they say that I am? Who do the men here in this country, this area where we are, say that I am?" And then we know that some were saying that he was just a prophet. He was just part of the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Now we know that Jesus already knew the answers to what he was asking. We know this. But he still wanted to find out from man's thought, man's heart and mouth, how people perceived him. It says that some were saying that he was John the Baptist, and some were saying he was Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. He's more than just one of them, isn't he? He is the Messiah. He is Jesus' Messiah. Jesus was also very interested, though, to see what his disciples had to say. His very own followers, those who had been serving alongside of him. He wanted to know, and of course, you know, you probably think in the back of their minds, they probably were waiting on that question to be posed to them. You probably were thinking that they were getting ready to be asked the very same thing. Well, disciples, I want you to tell me, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am. So there's that question again. Who is this Jesus? But who is this Jesus that's in your life? Who is Jesus in your life? In Matthew 16, 15, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And he just simply wants a very simple answer. He wants an answer from you today. He wants to know, who do you say that he is? Is he still just a baby that was born in a manger? Or is he ruler of your life? And I think that so many times through this Christmas season, we get focused on the manger. That's a beautiful scene, a much needed scene. Of course, you know, we decorate it here at Sand Hill, and we see nativity scenes set up all around the world, and they're beautiful, they're elegant, but it was a far cry from what Jesus really was born in. There was no elegance about the manger, the stable. He was born because there was no room in the inn. And so that long ago, there was already no room for Jesus in this world. Prophets had already told them that this day was coming. Supposedly, the people's hearts were becoming ready for this to happen. They believed that the prophet's words were true. They were waiting. But here was the very moment in time where the Messiah had arrived. But there was no room for him. And so we look at 2017 and fixing to be 2018, and there's still no room for him. We don't want to make room for him. You know, our hearts are not very big at all. So there's really not much space there, is there? But if we were to take out all the bad in our hearts, all the resentment, the hate, the gossiping, the lies, all the things that bring us or should bring us to our knees in repentance, and allow that heart to be filled with the love of our Heavenly Father, then we would be doing exactly what He wants us to do. And when we fill our hearts with that love, we were able to then go to other people and show them what Christ's love is all about. We can then truly experience and understand what it means to know that this little baby that was sent to this manger, He left the perfect place, left a perfect life. Now, we know that He lived a perfect life here on earth, but He suffered the way you and I suffer, and of course, He suffered more. But He did that for you and for me. And you know that He would have done that just for one of you, but He did it for all people. He extended Himself, He extended His love so that all people could come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. So this question that I ask you, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? There cannot be any middle ground in your life. It's black and white, or it's red if it's His exact word. But it's black and white. It's cut and dry. There's no middle ground with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must decide whether you want to follow Him or you don't. In John 14, 6, He tells us that He is the way, that He is the truth, and He is the life. And there is no other way that you can come to know Him and abide with Him except through His Father. The only way. There's no loopholes. There's no hidden contract or no fine print anywhere in this Bible that tells you if you do this specific thing, you can bypass this. There's no other way. The only way that you can truly enjoy Christmas and enjoy it not just on December the 25th, but enjoy Christmas every day that God gives you here on this earth is to come to know Him through His Father. So here's something else to think about. Either Jesus truly is the Son of God, or this is fraudulent. What do you say? My question now is going to be one that's going to hurt you. We know that Jesus is not a fraud. Are you? Are you living for Jesus? Do you focus on the tree? Do you focus on the decorations? Do you focus on how many presents you've got to put under that tree? Do you focus on the parties? Or do you truly take time and focus on Jesus? I know it's easier said than done, but we've got to make time for Him. I don't know if you do it at your house or not, but I truly encourage you, before tomorrow ends, you take time and you go to Luke chapter 2 and you read that story. Read it to yourself and then read it with your family and ponder on those words and think about how glorious it must have been as we sing angels we have heard on high to proclaim that the Messiah was born. Can you imagine the excitement in the air? Even the animals knew it. Even there was another individual that knew about this Savior's birth. Said John the Baptist did what when he even found out about it? He leaped in his womb because the Christ child was coming. When's the last time you leaped for Jesus Christ? When is the last time that your heart has been purged and been made clean because you knew that cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Matthew 16, 16, Peter's answering Jesus. He answers his question that was posed to him in verse 15. Peter says, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." Now you notice here, Peter, he acts as the spokesman for the 12 disciples. And he uses that word here, Christ, to describe Jesus. And that word Christ simply means the Messiah or the anointed one. And so Peter says immediately, he said, "You are Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. No one ever will be like Jesus. He is the only anointed one. He is the only Messiah." Peter's explanation to Jesus is that he is the one to fulfill the messianic hope of the Old Testament, what they have learned and what they were brought up in. And now here they are. They are living it, they're seeing it, they're walking it with this man called Jesus. But what we must understand also is that Peter did not understand and he did not obtain this knowledge because of what he had gained through the course of time. He obtained this knowledge because it was revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to him by God himself, letting Peter know that, yes, you are born of flesh. You have an earthly father. But this knowledge that you have now obtained and you're now beginning to understand, it's now beginning to be revealed to you, is only because God has now allowed you to see that this man that you're following, he's the real deal. He is the Messiah. He is that one that left his throne on high. He is that one who performed the miracles of life through the power of God. There was no evil spirits involved. There was no other angels involved. There was nothing but the power of God through Jesus Christ that performed the miracles that they witnessed day in and day out. Peter was simply affirming to those who were around him. He was really letting the disciples know also that, hey, this is the Messiah. This is the name above all names. This is the blessed Redeemer. This is the Son of God. This is the deity in human flesh. Jesus is the Son of the God. There's only one like Him, and there'll never be anyone else like Him. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to look at the first four verses of Hebrews. Jesus is God's unique Son. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promise of a divine Son, and He is an anointed King. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is Jesus. This is the revelation of God's supreme but yet begotten Son. within these four verses here, we are given, there's six specific things that we're given. Six descriptors that are given to us that tells us more about Jesus, and that he realized, or that we must realize rather, that he left his throne on high to fulfill the role, to fulfill the prophecy, to fulfill God's plan so that you and I could have life eternal. The first one being that he is heir of all things. He is the agent in creation. He is the brightness of his glory, which means that Christ's glory shines through. Does Christ's glory shine through you? Number four, he is the Son. He is an express image of his person, meaning that he is the very essence of God Almighty. Number five, he is the sustainer of all things by his word and through his word. And then lastly, Jesus is responsible for the purging of our sins, and he is seated at the right hand of God. And this is one that I'll add, you can make it number seven if you'd like, but that he has obtained, or he did obtain, an excellent name. No name greater than the name of Jesus, where we know there is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. It is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17 of Matthew 16, Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Blessed are you." Here Jesus is acknowledging Peter's condition of being privileged to receive the benefits of God's revelation to him. Jesus lets this be known to Peter. He lets him know how blessed you are, Peter, that you have realized the glory of God. Jesus acknowledges that Peter has an earthly father of flesh and blood, but he wanted Peter to understand and know that the ultimate source of his knowledge, the ultimate source of his wisdom, was through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so I will say this to you in closing today, that I will never be able to fully understand Jesus and really why he left his throne on high, other than the fact that he loves us that much. Why did he want to suffer, bleed, and die to save this lost world? It is because of love. It is because of obedience. The best way for you and the best way for me to understand him and to examine him is to examine his birth, examine his life, and his ministry as recorded in Scripture. And when you begin to read and study those things and begin to comprehend and seek out God's will for you and your life and what this truly means, you can then fully understand what Christmas is all about, and that we do or can celebrate it any day that we choose to. We don't have to wait for December the 25th to come around to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Simply learning what the Bible says is not going to be enough. When you learn things in school, when you learn things in work, you have to apply them. Proof of knowledge obtained. So if you're studying God's Word and you're not applying it, have you really learned it at all? Who is this Jesus to you? To hear the truth of Jesus and then to reject it leads to spiritual death, spiritual separation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who believe and accept Christ, we'll receive eternal life. Now, I know today the words that have come from me are not maybe your typical Christmas morning message. You know, we think about Christmas morning, we think about coming to church to celebrate the birth of Christ, but let me tell you, if you don't focus on the cross, what does this birth really mean? You can't have one without the other. It took his birth. First, it took him to leave his throne on high to give us his birth. But then he had to go to that cross. Otherwise, his birth, this Holy Spirit, this conception through God would have been pointless. He had to be obedient. That's a tough word, a word that we don't often want to hear. Maybe we hear it, but we don't apply it. Being obedient is very difficult. But I encourage you to be obedient to God's Word. Serve Him today, serve Him tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. As long as you have breath, let everything from within you praise the Lord. Unfortunately, we look at Christmas and we see that it's become such a man-made or worldly production, and it really based upon self-indulgences, things of this world. I'm thankful that we have a day on our calendar that is recognized for the birth of our Savior. We know that many don't recognize it as the birth of Jesus. It's just a day to be with family, to be with friends, a day maybe to have off from work. But it's so much more than that. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how much is under your tree tomorrow, you have nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing. When our lives on this earth comes to an end, all that will truly matter is whether or not God will be able to look at you and say that you are a well done, you are a great and faithful servant, or He will then look at you and say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." There's no medium ground with the Lord. The earthly beginning of Jesus in the manger led Him down the cruel Roman road, which ultimately we know led to His death. But glory to God in the highest, it did not end there. And without Jesus' perfect example of obedience to the Father, we wouldn't have a manger. We would not have the stories of Christ's ministry and His death, His resurrection, and His ascension back to His throne on high would never have taken place, because this was the plan of God. We wouldn't have anything. Life today would not matter. Who is this Jesus to you? Is He just a character or a symbol of hope, of peace, and of joy that you sense during the month of December? Or is He a permanent fixture within your heart? Who would you be today without Jesus? Without Him, you cannot do anything. I want you to think about that today. But I don't want you to sit here thinking that all hope is lost. This is a joyous day. Tomorrow will be a joyous day, but only if you have Jesus living within your heart. And so today, if you sit here and you don't have a real relationship with God, maybe you've come down, maybe you've been baptized, but maybe you just feel like you're not doing exactly what God wants you to do. Maybe you're not being obedient as God needs you to be. And today needs to be that day where you rededicate your life and ask God to lead you, ask God to guide you, and to show you the way He wants you to go. It started with the manger, which led to the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which did lead to a beautiful and terrible cross that we could have life everlasting. Who is this Jesus to you? With every eye closed and your heads bowed, this will be our hymn of invitation. If you feel led to come down, this altar will always be open for you. But remember, without Jesus, we're nothing.
I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away, oh Jesus. oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I could be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Personal walk.